is July 16th, Tuesday, 2013. This is ICANN 47 Durban, the commercial stakeholder group meeting in Hall 2H. We'll be beginning shortly. This is Colin. I'm the remote participation manager for the CSG meeting. We're picking up some noise over the Verizon bridge, so if you're a participant and you've dialed in remotely, if you wouldn't mind muting your phone until you're ready to speak, I think that that'll clear up the issue. Thank you. Let me see. This is the level for the bridge right here. So what we'll do is just keep it low. It's even annoying that you're also muted.
Good morning, everybody. I think we should get underway this morning. So welcome to the Commercial Stakeholder Group meeting. And it's rather a different meeting from normal. Quite often we use this time, or traditionally we have, to prepare for our session with the board that takes place at 11:15. We have the luxury at this meeting of actually having done that work previously. We've prepared for our session with the board. We did that on Sunday. So we have the luxury of looking at some of the issues in a little bit more detail during this session. And we have two other groups joining us at various times during the morning. We have a presentation from the ESSAC, that's at 10 o'clock, and at 10:30 a session with the EWG working group. So we have a little bit of time beforehand. What I would like to start the meeting by doing is to ask our councillors that when you have your review session of the meeting to actually make the point that the session that we had on Sunday, which was taken from part of the schedule of the GNSO meeting, that you feedback that it was extremely useful having this arrangement, and that we look to invoke the same thing at future meetings. It's tremendously helpful to have more time to prepare for our session with the board on Sunday. So please convey that message. Marilyn?
Thank you. I think in addition to Marilyn Cade, I know we haven't... Actually, I'm going to make a statement. Have you already started the transcript?
Yes.
Marilyn Cade, I think it would also be good for us to work into the comments that you might make as the lead on CSG to the board, because this additional service has additional cost factors to have additional meeting rooms and meeting staff and microphones, et cetera, et cetera. And so one thing we might want to do is just thank the board and FADI so that it's cognizant, right? This is a good thing, and they need to plan ahead when they do meetings in other cities, so they factor that planning and room support in.
Point well taken, Marilyn. I think that's a very good proposal. Thank you. So just to complete the issue of how we use that time and the preparation, when we meet with the board, we have three key topics to raise with them: the operational plan and budget, which Marilyn is leading on, GAC advice on GTLDs, and we've split that into two aspects. Ron is Andruff is initially going to lead on that, but then we're going to get into some technical issues which Jonathan Zook is going to lead on. And the third item is the issue of the current overload and stresses on the volunteer organisations, and particularly from these three constituencies, and Christina is going to lead on that. So that brings everybody up to date, I think, in terms of preparation for the board. There are a couple of other items I'd briefly like to discuss before we are joined by the ESSAC. And I'm well aware that there may be people that want to contribute to the discussion behind me. Obviously, I can't see that, so I'd rely on somebody else to alert me if anyone wishes to join the conversation from behind. The first item I'd like to raise is the motions that are going before council. And we had some discussion over a motion that's been prepared by Jeff Newman. And at the time we discussed that, we weren't in a position where we all had consultation within our constituencies. So that will take place during the constituency meetings. And I just want to firm up how we are going to coordinate the views across the three constituencies following those discussions. If it's in agreement with everybody, I suggest we just do that through the chairs, and we may need to take some further advice or make everybody aware within the CSG of the outcome of those debates. Marilyn?
It's Marilyn Cade. In our earlier discussion, I had taken the action item to follow up with London. I've done that, and he's awaiting to hear from me. And I, of course, want John or one of the IPC or one of you, whatever the decision is, I'd want, of course, one of the counselors to join. But Lonnie is a board member of VICTA, and he's very open to sitting down and hearing what our views are about the outcome that we eventually take on that resolution.
So how do you suggest we take that forward after our constituency sessions?
Well, can we talk about the likelihood of there being... what do we think the likely outcome is for us? Because we obviously need a vote from another councillor.
Well, okay, speaking on behalf of the ISPs, I can't answer that question.
I think all I can do is just ask him to plan to huddle with a couple of people after we know. Is that okay?
Yes. I assume that all of the leadership team would be in the following session between the board and the GAC, so maybe we can find some time to do that. And if Lonray could join us then, that would be a good way
forward. I actually, this is Christina Rosette, I would actually suggest that perhaps we defer the consultation with Lonray until tomorrow, in the sense that, you know, there's a clear view within the IPC that the current motion is unacceptable. But when I had a discussion, informal discussion with Jonathan Robinson about that, and floated the idea we had discussed, essentially taking the substance of Jeff's motion and turning it into an action item for the policy and implementation working group, he seemed a little squeamish about that. You know, an alternative, as he's written back to some of us, would be to come back with kind of a revised motion. So I think my point is, I think the IPC is not going to support Jeff's motion in its current form, but what exactly we propose to do is a little unclear, and I think it would be helpful to have tonight and tomorrow morning to work on that. So if you could just put the marker down with Lonray for tomorrow, that'd be great.
I will do. I just will make a follow-up comment that The informal feedback I have so far from a few board members, which was not about this topic, but about changes to bylaws, et cetera, at this point in time, was very skeptical about making revisions anytime soon to bylaws.
Felicia?
As the BC has not had a chance yet to discuss the motion, we absolutely need to wait.
Christina, if there was the opportunity to amend that, how would you see that happening? Are you suggesting that through the CSG constituencies there would be some proposed amendment that would then be taken in?
Yeah, then it would basically be a friendly amendment, or not so friendly, that would eliminate the call for the amendment to the bylaws and really just turn the board shall into the GNSO respectfully requests that. You know, nothing elaborate.
Okay, so just so I understand the semantics of that, is that a proposal that would go to Jeff, or would that be something tabled by our councillors during the meeting?
I would think that in the interest of avoiding another Beijing-type council meeting, that once there is consensus within the CSG, that there would be some discussions with Jeff either tonight or tomorrow, probably tomorrow, to let him know what's coming and give him the opportunity to accept the amendment.
Okay, thanks. Wolf.
Thanks, Tony. Well, as councillor, so I would like really to ask that we have a representative of these constituencies. I would like really to come to a, let me say, to a status where we are sure what we have to do. Let me say it this way, because I wouldn't like to have a situation where we are uncertain about that. So that means for me, really, so we have to discuss these motions within the constituencies at first, and afterwards, really, to have a mechanism, well, let me say, on our list here or whatever, to exchange view and to have clear positions on that, what the constituencies and what the CSG representatives are going to do on Thursday. Or on Wednesday in the council meeting. Thanks.
Okay, just to, I agree, and just to maybe kind of wrap this up with a bow so we can move on, I think what would be helpful is for all three constituencies in their meetings today to kind of address three questions. A, do they support the motion in its current form? If the answer to that is no, then you would move to B, which would you prefer to do, to ask that the request become an action item for the working group, the policy implementation working group, or to propose a friendly amendment that would essentially change it from a mandatory bylaws, a bylaws amendment that called for mandatory board action, to kind of a resolution requesting future cooperation, so that, you know, everyone is clear as to what it is that we're talking about and we're all on the same page when we come up with a decision.
But therefore we need, as soon as possible, a written statement or a written amendment to...
Okay.
Well, let's focus on the idea first, and then let's worry about the language.
I think as far as advising councillors, Wolf, I think it's beholden on all of us who are in leadership positions to make sure our respective councillors are aware of the outcome of that. We should take that on. Marilyn?
Marilyn Cade, my comment is not about this process, but about the implications. The language is going to be, to me, speaking individually, going to be incredibly important, because I don't support calling for a change in the role of the council as it relates to oversight of implementation or oversight on once that has to do with the fact that when once the board puts something out for public comment, I think we have to be really careful about language so that we're not expanding the role of the council beyond the understanding we already have that the PDP process will now incorporate a kind of a consultation on implementation aspects. But I'm going to be concerned when we talk in our constituency about language that might actually be changing the functional role of the council.
I understand that, and I would just encourage the constituencies to focus on kind of the most innocuous language that would be acceptable to them. And I'm thinking of language like requests the opportunity to, you know, nothing that gets into the shall, must, may triage, but yeah.
Okay, I think we have a way forward with that. I'd also request there are some lists of people to put their details of attendance on circulating. Could I ask you to make sure they come back to this table that has been completed? Stefan.
Thanks, Tony. Is it appropriate to change the subject slightly, but following on basically from what you've just been discussing, I actually wanted to ask the group a question about past discussions you may have had about the need for, well, I presume you feel that there's a need for GNSO review and restructure. I've been away from that discussion for a while, but when I left the council, there was two currents of thought. One was that the review was needed and urgently. The other was that it should happen after new GTLDs were launched. And it appears that is the thought that's prevailed from what I can see from the outside. My own feeling now as a member of this group is that the current structure is woefully inadequate to represent the interests of this group, the CSG, I mean. So just wondering if it's an appropriate topic at any time to discuss whether, we should push for at least consideration of a review at some point.
Well, it's interesting you raise that. We do have a little bit of time. I did have another item to bring to the table, but before I go any further, Steve?
This is Steve Metallis. I just wanted to point out that we just, apparently the Structural Improvements Committee has just posted for public comment a proposal to delay the GNSO review, so I don't know. That would be one medium by which we could express our views on that.
That's very helpful. What I'd ask is that if somebody can alert me to the fact when the SAC arrive, I don't want them sitting behind me and us just carrying on. I'm not able to see that. And I think your proposal is a good one, Stefan. I think that is an issue, particularly now hearing that occurrence that I wasn't aware of, to have that discussion now. And I'll open up for comments on that. And I'll open up from saying that from the ISP position, we've had quite a lot of discussions about the need for the GNSO review. And even prior to that situation occurring, we are of the firm view, I think, and we have consensus that we would like the review to happen as quickly as possible. It's a line we've always had. Nothing's changed from that. So with that opening comment, I'd be pleased to hear from others. Saheed.
Thank you. Just a couple of data points to inform the discussion. Number one, if you go and look at what the reason for delay that is being suggested is, that because we have an ATRT2 and a strategic plan that is being discussed, that's the sole reason, nothing else, and just stating that without any explanation, why the review of the GNSO needs to be or is being considered as one option to postpone it, number one. Two, it was a presentation of this was going to be made over the weekend to the GNSO Council, but was postponed for some reason to Wednesday. And so although we have lost that opportunity to discuss it during the week, there will be discussion on Wednesday, and I think that we should take instructions to councillors to bring issues up, and for people from the floor and audience to get up and come to the mic would be a helpful way forward. Thanks.
Thank you. So I'm very keen to hear of the situation in the other two constituencies, the discussions you've had, if any, and what the current thinking is on this particular issue. Is there anyone who would want to lead that discussion? Yeah.
We've discussed it, although quite candidly we've been looking at it from a micro perspective in light of the extremely elaborate and just oddly detailed checklist that Rob Hogarth had distributed at one point, on which all of the constituencies and stakeholder groups would be evaluated. Consistently the theme that Stefan raises is a topic of conversation. But I would expect that we will take the opportunity, as Steve notes, presented by the public comment request. And frankly, I would think that, notwithstanding the fact that it's a short period, that perhaps we could try and build into the respective comment preparation an opportunity for some cross-CSG coordination.
Jason?
I can't speak for the BC. I do know that some concerns were raised briefly yesterday, but they haven't been fully flushed out. I can say that the comments that I heard during the working session from BC members and ISP members were of great concern. I'm a little concerned as why, I think, Mikey, you brought this up when you talked about this. I'm very concerned about the fact that it seems to be moving away from what we were told the whole restructure was, and that was that the GNSO Council is a manager of a process. They are not a legislative body. And what they're supposed to do is make sure that the process works and that the work is done by working groups, which are open to anyone in the community to be involved. And I think this is a land grab away from that. It is marching backwards into the world we were before and makes the council some sort of legislative body, and I'm very concerned. And I think we should all be very concerned because, while imperfect, Marilyn, Steve, myself, and those few others, Tonys, we're in a better place than we were 5 years ago, even with all the frustration and problems that we have with the system as it exists today. And I think that the board needs to know that, and I think that we need to be unified and clear on this particular point.
Marilyn?
I just want to say something about the benefits of the checklist. Even though it's detailed, do think about the checklist, and maybe we could actually talk to Rob separately about that. Do think about the checklist as actually a tool about how they're going to help identify additional resources that we need. So I think my understanding from Rob, and I just park that for us to maybe examine, not spend time on now, but if the checklist is going to be used to say, okay, we're going to beef up the toolkit or, provide more services, we may want to think about approaching the use of that questionnaire for an additional benefit, which is separate from the rest of the discussion about the review.
I agree, it's certainly separate. Lisa?
So this is Elisa. While there has been some work done in terms of looking at that checklist, this has not been a topic that's been discussed broadly in the business constituency. So we have not, in my opinion, done any sort of significant meaningful discussion or work on this.
Steve?
I think a related point, which since the ATRT-2 was one of the reasons given, I guess, for this proposal to delay the review, we don't have the ATRT-2 on the agenda here because we didn't have room for it, and instead, as people may recall, we had a phone call, a teleconference with the ATRT-2, which I thought, and I think others may have felt, was quite unsatisfactory since it consisted mostly of scolding us for not having responded to the ATRT-2's own questionnaire. But I do just want to say that I hope the constituencies, maybe not at the CSG level, can think about whether we do have some input to ATRT-2 that would be helpful. I mean, it's certainly relevant in terms of the third issue we're going to raise with the board today about overload and all that. I think maybe ATRT-2 could be of some help there. And I ran to Brian Cute a little while ago, and he emphasized that comments up until the middle of September would still be timely. So I would just encourage, regardless of what we do about the GNSO review, I would encourage us, if we can input, I know we're all totally overburdened, but if we can input to the ATRT-2, in a timely fashion, that could be helpful. Thank you.
But speaking as chair of the ISPs, it was certainly my intent to raise that during our session, and following on from some of the input we gave to the ATRT-2 team when they met with the GNSO. So I think it's now incumbent on us to engage with them, and would look to put in some response on that. I also feel that there is a serious question here that we definitely need to engage and give some response back on the suggestion that the GNSO review is basically deferred. What was the time frame, Steve? Can you remind me to?
6 months.
It's a public comment. It's out for public comment.
Oh, okay. So it's a normal process.
I don't know if it's 21 days or 30 days.
Right, but I believe the comment calls for deferral of the review for 6 months.
No, the schedule would be established in six months, so it didn't say when that would be.
Okay.
This just came out an hour ago, so.
Right, so this is something we need to give some urgent attention to if we're going to get something in during that period. Sorry, Wolf? Okay.
Sorry.
Right, yeah, it's always the same. It's thrown out and the time is tight. Stefan?
Yeah, just echoing what you said earlier on, Tony, about the ISP's position, which seems very clear. Just wondering if there is interest in trying to get some kind of unified CSG position on. I guess it's a no-brainer that we all think that the review should happen sooner rather than later, and I think that would be a useful message to get across rather quickly. If that's the case, once again, as many other speakers have mentioned, I don't think there's a unified position from the BC at this point. So perhaps there's a discussion that needs to happen, but I think it would be useful if we can push for a unified CSG position at some point, rather quickly, if we feel that a review, especially in the light of what Steve's just told us, you know, things are moving along here. And what's likely to happen now is that review will be pushed back, and it's going to be pushed back for more than a year, and we'll be stuck with the same structure that's not working for us.
Tony?
To build on what was just said, let's keep in mind that when this does get underway, that will probably take, with public comments and everything involved, maybe 18 months or 2 years to actually come to something. So I don't really see it's in our interest to let this drag out until it actually gets going.
Well, okay, having heard what's been said, as far as the ISPs are concerned, we're in a position where we could even go and make that statement today. I don't feel that the other constituencies are at that point, though. Lisa?
I have some hesitancy talking about all this work, and not that I, obviously it's very important work, but given where we're at now with the workload, I just question whether or not this is the right time.
Okay, so clearly there's some more dialogue to be had, but certainly I think the feeling that's been expressed in the ISPs, despite the workload, this goes right to the top of the stack for us. Okay, so I assume there'll be some further dialogue about this, and hopefully it can be squeezed in the agenda of the constituency meetings to get some initial feel, and we'll move from there. So with that, I'd like to welcome the members of the ESAC. Come and join us.
Hello, my friend.
Please.
I was wondering whether I could ask some of the CSG members to maybe move back into the side seats so that we can have some more seats open for ESAC members. I understand the entire ESAC is coming. Not all of you, but if a few of you could, you know, that would be great. Thank you.
Mikey, are you okay to drive? Okay, thanks.
As the ESAC folks are settling, Julie, can we just, with our speakers, can we just enforce the next slide discipline? Because that way, Benny, who's running the Adobe room remotely, can tell which slide we're on.
Okay, that sounds good. We do. So let's get rolling on this. These are always really interesting sessions whenever we meet with the ESAC. So I'd like to welcome the ESAC to this meeting with the CSG. We do have, I think, some questions heading your way as this goes through. But probably the starting point is to hand over to you, Patrick, and let's roll through the slides and put the questions on the end.
Thank you very much. Patrick Feldström, Chair of the Security and Stability Advisory Committee of ICANN. We have 30 minutes, and as I have understood, you have questions for us. So as you have got the material, I have a question to you. Should we go through any of this material, or should we directly go into question and answers?
I think it would be helpful to have a quick run through the slides, just a quick tour, which
okay.
May also bring some additional points as well.
Okay. So, next slide, please. So, the Security and Stability Advisory Committee is one of the advisory committees of ICANN and began operation in 2002. And our advice is to the ICANN community, but as the advisory committees in ICANN work primarily to the board. We have 39 members appointed by ICANN board for 3-year terms. Next slide, please. Here you see a list of the current activities of ESAC. We are looking at everything from the DNSSEC-related issues to abuse of the DNS for denial-of-service attacks and other things related. What might be interesting at the moment has to do with namespace collision issues and also the work that we're doing on the expert working group on GTLD directory services. Next slide, please. We have had a couple of publications lately. We have some related to security and abuse. Next slide, please. Reports related to internationalized domain names and WHIS. Next slide, please. So there are 3 different reports which you have got in the material that you have. The first one is a response to the board because we have and a couple of times said that the studies that are issued by ICANN must be interdisciplinary. So we got a question from the board specifically, what do you mean by interdisciplinary study? And what kind of criteria should be used to, what kind of criteria do we have to fulfill? And this report, SAC 59, is laying out our view of that issue. And then next slide, next slide, next slide. One work party that we currently have that I would like to give a brief update on has to do with variants and internationalized domain names. This is not a report. It's not a document that we have finalized. This is a status of the work party of ESSAC. Next slide, please. We got asked to comment the reports produced by the ICANN IDN variant TLD program. And the report that we are working on that is not yet released are commenting on the label generation rules procedure for the root zone, the label generation use repertoire and variant generation rules, the change process of LDRs, and various other recommendations by the user experience report. Next slide. So what we are looking at are sort of the normal criteria that we are interested in from ESSAC perspective. We are looking, as always or as often, we refer to conservative principle. We're looking at the process to handle situations where the community disagrees with ICANN variant calculations. We are looking at various backward compatibility issues. If you have to move from one set of label generation rule to another one. We are looking at the applicability of the LDR for the root zone on other TLDs and higher layers, levels. And we're also looking at the operational readiness of the ICANN TLD functions with respect to variants. Next, please. So we have produced a document that is currently under full ESSAC review, where our last call is 17th of July, which, as you who know what date it is today, is pretty soon. And after that, we will finalize the document for publication. So if it is the case that we are really lucky, and why would you be that way if you have more than two people writing a document, it might be that we actually can present the final document on our open session on Thursday. But that's if we are really lucky. Okay. Next slide, please. Then we have two other reports, and I would like to ask Russ Mundy to give an update on the root key rollover work party. Is Russ here? Okay. Hello, I'm Russ Mundy. Next slide, please. So what this work party is doing is to consider issue relating to the rollover of the keys used for DNSSEC for the root zone. This work is not meant to result in a definitive advisory, but it provides an inventory and study of the issues related to a key rollover. The work party is exploring possible root zone KSK rollover scenarios and points at some complications and complexities that are unique to the handling of root zone keys compared to keys at lower levels in the DNS hierarchy. In parallel with this, IANA has had a public consultation that is part of the contractual requirement to perform a scheduled root zone key rollover. So the public comment period ended on 31st of May. So it's really important to understand here that IANA had a public consultation and are working on how to really do the actual operational work with the root key and the root zone as we have it today. What ESSAC is working on is to look at root key rollover in a more general sense, what kind of issues might be there. Next slide, please. Oh, sorry. Not enough coffee. So what the you see here what kind of issues the work party is looking at, for example, key management, various mechanisms for key rollover, RC 5011, which is normally used. How is that actually working for the root zone, etc.? Next slide, please. So this work party has not yet produced a document for the full of ESSAC to review, and then ESSAC, as normal, will decide whether and or this document is to be produced. Next slide, please. Is Merike here? Good. So let me move away from the microphone.
Good morning, I'm Merike Keo, and I'm leading a work party that deals with the abuse of the DNS. Next slide, please. So the primary objective of this work was that there's still ongoing issues with people not following best current practices that have, quite frankly, been known for over 10 years. So ESSAC has had documents created, specifically ESSAC 004 and 008, and what we find is that overall the community doesn't necessarily implement these practices. So we have undertaken a work party to look at, well, what is the problem today, right? Is it growing? It is growing because there are DNS amplification attacks that keep happening. And so what we wanted to do was see whether or not we could produce a current work that takes a look at what was previously done and then provides additional current information. Next slide, please. So the issues specifically are, you know, that there is an increased scale and impact of attacks because there is more bandwidth available, there is many more hosts that can be exploited. We want to list the factors that make these amplification attacks possible so that there's an overall awareness of why they occur. We also want to point to the prior work on mitigation techniques because, quite frankly, most of them are things that have been known over the last decade. And we also will be providing recommended steps to address unresolved critical issues. Next slide, please. So the questions that are under discussion currently in the work party are, what steps should DNS and network operators take specifically to resolve issues that make such large-scale distributed denial of service attacks possible? You know, how can they prevent it? How can they be prevented, specifically network address spoofing, where people are forging IP addresses and traffic from these forged IP addresses, to be able to identify unmanaged open recursive resolvers and also to detect networks that deploy... And also to be able to detect networks that deploy spoofable networks and run unmanaged open recursive resolvers. And just so everybody is aware, I mean, the issues of spoofable addresses is what was addressed in SAC 004, which was created in, I believe, 2004, right? And then also the issues of unmanaged open recursive resolvers was also addressed in SAC 008, which was written about in 2006. So these are not new problems, but what we found is that, you know, these are still recurring problems that are causing instability in DNS, so we want to raise the awareness. Next slide. So the next one is
Yes, we the what happened with name collisions is that, just as you point out, and this
go ahead.
Get in the way of for the new GTLD launch, and we have been very frustrated at getting, frankly, management and staff to pay attention to it. I want to encourage you to take advantage of any offer that the GAC makes to provide advice supportive of your concerns. I know that we will, but if the GAC were to give advice on that, I believe it really gets the level of attention it needs at this point, because we probably don't have that much time to either delay the rollout of a few TLDs, just a few, that are going to present the highest risk of name collision. And the time may be now, and let us know how we can help, and I'd encourage you to invite the GAC to support you.
Sahi?
Thank you. Two quick questions. ESAC 57. It's interesting that finding 4 says that, you know, basically this problem with the certs will create an issue which will make man-in-the-middle attacks more effective. It's an interesting finding. And then you've also mentioned that we recommend that, you know, in browsers and other forums, this is addressed. But you've mentioned very clearly that the vulnerability window to this is at least 3 years. So my question on that point would be, in your recommendations, which come further in the document, would you suggest that those TLDs not be put into the root at this point in time? So that would be my first question. And then on the ESSEC 59, the conclusion, where I think the language uses actually very something we would support within the CSG, is the suggestion that the further inquiry into lingering issues related to the expansion of the root zone as a consequence of the new GTLD program, and also saying, you know, you, and at the end you say, stubbornly unresolved concerns about the longer-term management of the expanded root zone. To what extent, my second question, to what extent have you found management even discussing this and saying, well, what do we do about this? Have you had any ear of them, and have they decided to take this into consideration?
First one, which is the easier one, let me clarify how that report was created. Yes, in the report we found that the window was 3 years, and that's why we had the recommendation we had. This report was handed over to ICANN in the beginning of January this year, and what ICANN did was to implement a couple of those recommendations immediately. So if you read Appendix A, that is where we describe the events between when the report was released to ICANN. At that time, one of the recommendations, if you notice, is a disclosure policy. So ICANN decided to handle this just as you normally do in certs, as with any kind of security vulnerability, to not publish the report. So it was handled as any kind of sort of cert incident issue. What ICANN did was, first of all, to implement this disclosure policy. It then communicated according to, it was ICANN security team. They worked with the CU browser forum and also various vendors that were impacted. And all of this is described in Appendix A. In March, after the CA browsers forum had changed their policy and recommendations for certificate authorities, as you see in Appendix A, this window is shortened drastically to a couple of days. At this point in time, we in ESSEC decided, just like any kind of disclosure policy, in cooperation with ICANN security team, and this was, if I remember correctly, around March 10, which is 3 months later, we decided that this was the time when the report could be made public. And that's why you have the report itself, which is sort of done January 1st, and then you have the appendix, which is written and finalized on March 13. But also, I think one thing that I think is something that you can look at the business constituency by looking at the report and then read the Appendix A to also evaluate whether this was handled in a way by ESSEC and the ICANN security team that you feel comfortable with. Because this was the first time, as I said, a disclosure policy was in use, was implemented, and we, from ESSEC perspective, we are perfectly happy with how that worked. And given my experience in the last 30 years on the internet, this is one of the best introductions of a disclosure policy I've ever experienced. So I congratulate the ICANN security team for doing a good job. But that is also a meta issue that you can have a look at and come back with feedback, either to us or to the security team under Jeff Moss, to say whether you have input on that. Regarding the second one regarding root scaling issues, yes, that is something that is coming back all the time, and we have been looking at it. That said, we have numerous reports that have to do with the scaling issues. In almost all of those reports, we are saying that the short stories, there are domain, there are zones in the world, specifically TLDs and CCTLDs and also .com, which have millions and millions and millions of domain names. So what is really the problem? The problem is, the problems are two. One, to change the number of records drastically and fast, and to monitor and react if it is the case that you detect that something is happening. So what we are saying, and all, everyone else, is that those two things are the most important things. To monitor, to see what's happening, and have what we in ESSA call, have studies that involve interdisciplinary studies that involved all involved parties that try to predict what kind of risks are the next ones ahead.
Thanks. So Marilyn, next. Jonathan.
I'm going to make this very quick because I know we want to go on to talk about dotless domains, which I think are a real priority to all of us. The linkage between, I don't quite fully understand yet, the linkage between the security framework, which has been an issue of interest to large parts of the BC, and the ESSAC reports. And I do think, maybe not at this meeting, but at a future discussion, it would be helpful for us to be able to go into more discussion. Just referencing some points that have made, I think Mikey referenced this and Steve did as well, but widely distributed throughout the business constituency are those enterprises, both large and small, and associations who can reach those enterprises, both large and small, and particularly in Latin America and in the MENA region and in Africa. So maybe we could come back at some later point, Patrick, and think about how we can use reaching into the members through our members into some of those communities more strongly.
Yes, absolutely. And this is also why, for example, you and myself and also Tony has been talking about, first of all, how should we meet, which we now are, how much time should we have together, which is always something that we try to get more time. We always try to get larger rooms. But this is also one of the reasons why I opened the meeting, just as a way for me to support you in this. That's why I also opened the meeting by saying, we have sent you material. Do you want us to go through the material, or should we go directly into Q&A? So one alternative was, which I open up to you as well, which it was to just skip this and go into discussion. And we just have to continue to make these sessions more and more effective.
Jonathan?
Yes, I guess I don't want to be too redundant with some of the other people, but on this issue of namespace collisions and internal certificates, there's been a lot of discussion in the CSG, and there's a real consensus that this is a serious issue, and it feels like there's a disconnect with ICANN on this. Even though they took immediate action after 57, the slide you had up on the screen an hour ago said that there was still significant work that needed to be done. And I agree with that, and I'm continue to be concerned that this is a kind of Y2K style problem that we have the ability to avert, to do education around, et cetera, but to just simply suggest, as Moss has suggested, that it's just up to the business community to worry about this, and we can't control how all the networks around the world operate. It feels a little bit too punting the ball down the court for something that will have such a significant impact on 10-year-old practice on enterprise networks, small businesses, Microsoft Home Server. I mean, it's all over the place, right? And I think it's something that we need to get the board and the ICANN staff to take more seriously.
No, we in ESSA completely support that as well, as you know, as you heard, and as you can see in our reports. I think our recommendations are pretty clear.
Okay, please.
ESSAC for raising this sheriff's report, and we're planning to translate your report about the internal name certificate into Japanese so that our community know what the issue is. And so I just want to understand the current situation correctly. So my understanding is that necessary steps have basically been taken, and of course there are some continuing issues, but it's not to the point that we really have to start worrying about stopping the delegation of the new GTLDs. And I think that's what I'm planning to share with our community, if that's a fair description of the current state.
Well, I think it's really important that that people read and draw their own conclusions. Mm-hmm. Let me be a little bit more precise. Originally, the agreement in the CA Brussels Forum was 3 years, as Sahid said. That has changed to be 30 days until they stop issuing the certificates and 120 days for revoking. So maybe when I said a few days, might be misunderstood. So let me be precise here. What I meant by a few days was more like drastically smaller than 3 years, but for some parties, maybe still too long. Okay? But this is a CA browser issue, a forum issue, and it's also the case, of course, that not all CAs are members of the CA browsers forum. It's also the case that not all applications are checking revocation lists. So there are many, many unknowns here. Okay? Mm-hmm. But what we say in ESSAC is that just having the habit of having list of certificate authorities that you trust has so many errors and problems anyways. So if the problem is really to be resolved, the only thing we have to look at the moment is to use DANE, which means that we take a fingerprint of the certificate and put that in the DNS, and we sign it with DNSSEC. Mm-hmm. That is the path forward. That is the mechanism for resolving this issue. Because with CAs, we also have various issues like the Digi Notar and other CAs that got intrusion, which means that false certificates are issued, which is also an attack vector. So, and then comparing how much would it be better if it was the case that CA browsers forums had 3 days instead of 30? Is that so much better than other kind of issues? Like, that is something that people need to think about themselves. Please.
I'm J. Scott Evans from Yahoo, and I'm not a technical person, so please forgive me if I have missed it, but have we discussed the dotless domain issue? Because that is something that I have publicly written the ICANN board about on behalf of my company, and I would really like to take advantage of having discussion about the former study and the new study. I think there are many people in this room that are very interested in that. If we could move to that, I would greatly appreciate it.
Okay. Mikey.
This is Mikey. This will be real quick, and I agree with Scott. I'd love to hear about dotless domains, too. But, you know, I've got a process question for you, Patrick, which is, it seems like you and the ESSAC are very calmly, in very measured tones, saying, by the way, your house appears to be on fire, and all of your children appear to be in it, and there aren't any fire trucks in the neighborhood. And so in this very calm and measured way, you are stating catastrophic future events, and there's no apparent pipe between those conclusions and action. And so as a result, my impression is that we who are being informed that our house is burning down around our ears are not responding with the appropriate vigor. It's more of an editorial comment, but is there some way that we can get a better connection between ESSAC reports and action in this organization?
At NetNode, where I work, we have this sign which says, if in case of fire, leave the building and tweet later. So, but I got a question on, yes, of course, all of us would like to have better action on our own views. Yes, of course, it's easy to agree with you. But to answer the question about dotless domains, and then unfortunately we from ESSAC need to leave. Yes, we issued a report on dotless domains. What should be remembered is that the applicant guidebook already from the beginning say that you should not have any address record at the zone apex. We had a study where we said the same thing, don't do this. but ICANN board at the same time requested a study on some other implications, and I don't remember the wording of the board resolution. That study was issued this spring, and if I understand correctly, it is almost done. I haven't seen it myself. It's not public. In parallel, we have multiple parties, including the Internet Architecture Board, which also basically say the same thing. So there seem to be and the messages in all of those reports, as far as I see, are coherent.
Okay, so we are going to have to wrap up. I'd like to thank Patrick and the rest of the team for joining us. I'd like to make one final request, though, before we close. Patrick, this session, as you're aware, it's raising quite a few issues that we could discuss in depth a lot more. Would we have the ability to possibly have a session with you by telelink between meetings? Is that something you would consider?
Yeah, there are multiple things we can do. First of all, I would like to have the ESSAC people that are in the room to stand up, please. Okay. So, Noel, wait a second. It was not because of getting an applause, because we could do it the other way around as well and pet our each other's backs like forever. But I wanted you to see what people in the room are ESSAC members, because I think the first thing that is really important is that each one of you don't chase me. Yes, you can do that, but sit down and talk with the other ESSAC members. All of them know this shit in detail. Talk with them, okay? That's the first thing. Secondly, absolutely we can have we can set up that, and we have mechanisms for doing that. So let's do that.
Okay. Thank you very much.